Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 199.
Wow.
That's a milestone, right, Joe?
Next episode.
Oh, I thought... Wasn't 183 a milestone?
I think it was like 184.
Whoa.
Yeah, 184 was a big one.
Well, so, yeah, it's every consecutive 13 episodes after 183, I think. So we just missed one, and then
I think
that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So
wait a minute.
What?
This is 199.
Yeah,
it's a huge episode.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
It's a huge episode because the box office report has returned.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, the return, the much sought after
really,
return.
Really was, sorry to listener Dan, who apparently was like, what
well,
the
we
hell?
We accidentally mislabeled
we
the episode.
Well, we didn't.
Well, I was trying to share in the blame just because it's our project.
That's true.
The royal we.
I didn't want to name any names because I was trying not to embarrass Kevin.
Jeez.
But yeah, we accidentally got mislabeled
for, and
honestly, I feel bad for Dan because like he must have just been chomping at the bit because it was only mislabeled for like what, like 10 or 15 minutes.
Hot damn!
and so his said box office report, but it was actually the BFG spoiler episode,
yeah.
And so. So we apologize.
Sorry, Dan.
A full refund has been sent to your house. Yeah. So
4 to 6 weeks.
It's 4 to 6 weeks, but we also included Joe included one of his no prizes.
Yeah.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just a quick moment for shameless plugs. Don't forget that we are available on iTunes where you can go and rate and review and subscribe. Would you like to know that we have a new review?
We do.
We have a new review coming.
Well,
right
actually,
at you.
I think we have a new review and two new ratings.
Yeah,
we're at 102.
We are at 102.
Wow.
And we have a new review from Nerf Herder.
Oh, because he's scruffy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And
what a weird. Do you remember that band?
No, Nerf Herder was great.
Nerf Herder was great.
Yeah.
That first album was amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the band?
It very well could be.
Van Halen's a great song.
Van Halen's a great song. Sorry.
Sorry is awesome. I think they also did the theme for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, really?
I think so.
That would sound about right.
Yeah.
Nerf Herder says, a hilarious podcast. If you want a good idea of what movies are worth seeing in theaters without too many spoilers, check out the box office reports. It's all really good stuff. First episode suggestion, the Real Spoilers team was in fine form on the Gods of Egypt
episode. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So thank you, Nerf Herder, for your review. And
gold, and
it really helps us when people leave reviews. So, and that's a great idea, what Nerf Herder did. So if you like want to leave a review, but you're never really sure what to say, like, that's a great way.
List one of your favorite episodes.
Just list one of your a great starting point that you think might be for a fan. Like, oh, this was a good episode or whatever. So that would be that gives you a topic starter, if you will.
Or list your favorite mime act from the 70s.
Sure, your favorite mime act. It's pretty much Shields and Yarnell.
Freaking
or
mimes, man.
Marcel Marceau.
Yeah, that's all you got.
That's about pretty it. Much, pretty much out of mimes so, after that.
A or B, just choose one and list it.
Marcel Marceau, who had the only line.
The only line in Silent Movie.
And Mel Brooks' Silent
Movie.
Oh,
really? Yeah. That's fantastic.
They call and offer him a role, and the whole movie is silent.
Right.
And he's like, no. Which is great that a mime was willing to take that, because it's so obvious.
So is that the thing? Like, can they not... like if they is that their deal? Like they don't speak for anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a.
It's not like a law,
a Jedi code or anything like that.
But in real life, like outside of their performing, they
don't
even
talk? That's my question. Like outside of their performances, do they talk?
Well, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, would they give an interview? But nobody really knows because I don't think anyone's ever asked to interview a mime.
Yeah. So it's look, we've got this guy and the mime. I'll take this guy. Man, yeah, that's I don't know.
It's just way too close to clown.
You know? Yeah, it's even kind of worse than clown.
It's worse than clown because they can sneak up on you.
Yeah,
I mean at least the clown you can hear burp 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 burp
or squeaky shoes or the calliope music.
Yeah, you're right. You know, run.
I think it's also worse because mimes think that they're art.
Yeah.
So it's like a clown,
snooty,
but snobby.
Oh, he thinks he's people.
Oh, look at that! He's buttering his. Corn.
Oh, he's falling down the well.
Oh, I hope he gets out of that box.
Oh, is he climbing a rope again?
Oh, I hope it doesn't get windy.
Do you remember like the heyday of like when like every like theme park had some sort of mime entertainer to you know to keep the crowd going while that you know they fill a stadium?
So glad I don't remember that.
Yeah. I don't really remember that.
That was a common thing. Like they did that, like you know, like Busch Gardens did
Six
that.
Flags had
Six
it.
Six Flags did that. SeaWorld did that.
Wow, I didn't think Six Flags could make me like it less.
Surprise!
And there'd be like some sort of like mime entertainer, like while you're waiting, you know, for the dive show or whatever.
I like how like Cirque du Soleil they do clowns. They have their clowns that entertain in between.
Clowns their clowns are fancy but clowns. Not
they're not scary clowns.
They're not scary. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. They're clowns. A circus.
And they're not annoying like mine.
Right. They're actually entertaining.
Yeah, they're entertaining. No, yeah. So you would like go in and be like, oh God, when's the show? Oh my God, it's like 20 minutes. Oh, that's okay. We're going to watch this mime silently troll behind people and walk like them. And that would be the entertainment.
That's funny.
Like,
but how about we make a deal? What if you get rid of the mime, but we have to wait 40 minutes? I would like that.
I will wait the extra time.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Did the mime ever get out from behind the glass panel? Or?
No, it was always stuck. It's like Zod. It's like Zod, Ursa, and Nahn in Superman.
Now see, that's a Zod I'd get behind Superman killing.
Oh, Terrence Stamp. Oh, mime Zod?
Mime Zod.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, okay, all right. Like Terrence Stamp was great. Yeah.
So also don't forget, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can go there and join our League of Show Sharers. All you got to do is click share. Boom, you've done it.
Ta-da.
Just that simple. Maybe do it on an episode. Don't just do it on a random post.
I don't know.
That'd be the League of Post Sharers.
Put in that
the Batman
fine print.
Joker driving clip. Get shared a lot.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Very well for us. Yeah. So people who have joined the League of Show Sharers this week, Brett Schulte, Timmy Tuzun, Linnea Thunsell, Tom Comiskey, Chris Sanders, Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Chris Brown, Julianne Jordan, Ryan Breidenbecker, Travis Tewitt, Bud Vogtlin.
I was like, Abbott?
Oh, I wish. So I'm apologizing if I'm saying that wrong. Jason Antris, Chris Sansosi. I think I got it right.
Ooh.
He sent me a new way to say it.
Awesome. New phonetics.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic. That I got it right. Nick Scott and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. So thank you, everyone, for sharing the podcast. At this point, I think we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and it's been charging for an extra week. So we're all set to go here with double the box office power. Number one at the box office this weekend, The Secret Life of Pets blew everything else away, opening at $96 million.
Holy smokes.
So not quite a Finding Dory opening, but
that's,
still.
I mean, for a non-Disney
approaching
Pixar movie,
and
that's
not
impressive.
Yeah, and so, I mean, and not a four-day weekend either. You know, we just passed the four-day weekends, the regular three-day weekend, almost
and an
100.
An original property.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, this is by the people that did Minions and Despicable Me. So obviously, you know, they've
got a bit of a pedigree.
It does. It does. And so, and Tom, did you see this one?
I did.
I saw it too.
Yeah.
And
it's fine.
I enjoyed it. It's fun.
Serviceable.
It's a fun kids movie. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's worth us $96 million in its first weekend, but
okay. I was thinking maybe
it was a lot of fun. I think all the kids really enjoyed it. Like, I think your daughter would enjoy it. It was like entertaining enough, nonstop action and funny jokes that everybody could enjoy.
Toy Story with dogs.
Yeah.
And cats.
Yeah. Because it's what happens when it's just
Louis
C.K.
Is Louis C.K. the main dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I just want to interject here.
Sure.
I've been reading about Shields and Yardell.
Oh, jeez.
Like, oh, like, boy. Now that you brought it up, I just got this like queasy feeling inside. So in 1998, they divorced, by the way.
Oh, which, what a shame.
But it probably was the quietest proceeding.
It probably was.
Oh, they were a married couple?
Yeah.
Oh.
So in 1998, Shields was recruited by the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus to serve as their director of clowning.
That's a thing?
So, so mime is above clown? In the rankings?
Apparently, I guess.
They have a director of clowning. So if I...
Well, they have a clown college.
They do? Clown college. For me to hate a mime even more is that he is now a director of clowning.
He's the head mime.
He's got a better title in front of his name than any of us.
Yeah.
I'm the director of clown college.
Mimes are so bad. When they found out that he took over clown college, the animal rights activists were like, what if we just did more elephant shows?
can we get more tigers?
Get
out
rid of
there?
The mimes and throw in a couple more elephants. We'll shut our mouths.
It's totally fine.
Yeah, we will turn a blind.
I'll tell you what. Can you get like dodos? Like,
yeah,
dodos. We'll put yeah. dodos in the show.
They're gonna like That's resurrect fine. Extinct species and kill them.
Yeah. Well,
I would rather see that than to see clowns.
Siberian tigers would be fantastic.
Or a mime clown.
A mime clown hybrid. God. This is scary. So The Secret Life of...
It's like something Marvel would do.
Quite all right. I'm glad we got that out of the way. The Secret Life of Pets had a $75 million budget. So, I mean, not even that high.
That is the secret with this studio. I don't know what they're doing or like how many like weird Cambodian children that they have animating these things. Because they're all like that.
Dory has a $200 million
Despicable Me was like an $80 million. Yeah. So was Despicable Me 2.
And they make like $1 billion.
And they still make money like the high...
Those first two were good. That's the key to that one. The Despicable Me 1 and 2
those movies were good, yeah. And this one's really good too. I think if you just skip past Minions and you see this one, like this is a return to form for the studio. Like there's a lot of jokes for the adults to enjoy. You know, Louis C.K.'s in there, and but not raunchy by any means, but just that good adult humor in a kids cartoon. But then the kids are entertained. It's funny, cute dogs. You know, it's everything you'd expect.
Is Bobby Moynihan in that too?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Dana Carvey's in it.
Yeah. Really,
Dana Carvey is a really funny character.
And he does like his old guy voice.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it was funny because like he didn't quite sound like Dana Carvey, so I was like, is that Dana Carvey or is it somebody trying to sound like Dana Carvey?
Right.
And then I spent the whole movie going, why isn't Dana Carvey in more of these movies?
Yeah,
like, that's true.
He retired for 20 years.
He did.
Yeah,
he's got
to raise his family.
He's got a weird show on USA up all night. No, yeah. it's like an impression show.
Yeah,
Freddie Prinze Jr. is the host. And he brings on like the first episode was Steve Carell. John Lovitz has been on.
Huh.
And it's just like these people doing impressions of other.
It's interesting that people will go work with him because the story I've always heard is that he's kind of a douche.
Really? Dana Carvey?
I thought that's what I'd heard.
Huh.
I believe that. But like, I guess him and Steve Carell were on.
I listened to him on an interview the other day on a podcast.
He was
seemed really nice. No, I listened to him on Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, all right.
He did a whole episode and he seemed like a really cool, you know.
It's weird. It's like,
maybe I'm misremembering.
He disappeared.
He talked about it on Comedy Bang Bang, but he basically quit show business just to raise his kids and do that kind of thing.
Pulled a Rick Moranis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He quit, and so now
after Master of Disguise,
that's what it was.
Did he quit show business?
Show business quit him.
No. But his kids are now like in their 20s, and he didn't raise them. Like he didn't want to raise them to be entertainers. And both the kids decided to go do stand up without him knowing. So he found out that they were in show business, and he's like, okay, well, let's do this then. And now they moved like back to LA or whatever, because like, if you guys are gonna do it, let's do it right.
Yeah, it's
because they were like,
let's get dad as a paychecks.
Yeah. So now he's back into.
I can only cash those Wayne's World checks for so long.
But he said that his biggest regret was he turned down $100 million deal or something. He's what movie was it? He turned down. Oh god, an animated thing, because he didn't want to do animated things or he was working on something else.
He too was supposed to be Shrek at one.
Yeah, right. No, he turned down some huge anime. It might come to me, but like,
oh
he
my
was,
god, could you imagine if he had been Donkey?
That'd be weird
that
with Mike
been,
Myers.
Yeah,
and,
yeah that would awesome.
Been, that would have been weird. So anyway, but he like turned down some huge deal. So this time around with the Secret Life of Pets, he's like, yes, I will do
isn't that what happened to Connery? Like, didn't they offer Sean Connery Dumbledore? And Gandalf.
Yeah.
And he was
they were throwing a bunch of stuff his way.
This is going to be awful.
And that's why he League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Because he was like, they keep offering me these things. I guess I'll take one.
Right. The one you pick is
whoops.
You had two cracks at two massive franchises.
I'm glad he wasn't either one of those, though. I think it would have been distracting.
Yeah.
Just because he's just Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
he's too big of a name.
I would agree.
Yeah. He would have overpowered those scenes.
Robert Redford is Superman.
Yeah.
Or Burt Reynolds is, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, Burt Reynolds is Superman. First of all, he wouldn't shave his stash. It would be just annoying.
He shaved his stash.
he'd be chewing gum. That would be Burt Reynolds as Superman.
Yeah.
Funny name. Yeah. Turd Ferguson.
So anyway, not that big of a budget on Secret Life of Pets, but it's already domestically around 100 million. It's over 35 million at least overseas right now, so good. It's already making money.
Is it Illumination?
Yeah.
Is that
yes.
Is? Yeah, good
now, is
them.
That Ron Howard's?
No, it's Imagine. No, it's
Imagine. Imagine. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So Illumination is just some company that makes Despicable Me movies. Okay.
Yeah. Like the next step up from Blue Sky.
It's a big step up from Blue Sky, but they make money. So,
it used to be a big step up. Yeah. It used to be a step below Blue Sky. But
oh, really?
Well, I mean, until Despicable Me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, what did they do before Despicable Me? I thought that's the first
David and Goliath.
Oh, Davey. I don't know. Did they do anything? I just remember when Despicable Me came out, people were just like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? And then it was really good.
It was a hit. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, good for it. So we'll see what that continues to do in the upcoming weeks, but I'm guessing we'll be around for a while.
It was also good timing that they didn't deal with Finding Dory.
Right. They didn't go head to head with that.
They let that run its course.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies making a ton of money, Finding Dory, and at number two, making another $21 million in week four. That movie is now at $423 million domestic. So doing all right for itself. We go to overseas. Another almost $200 million overseas, so over $600 million. I don't have a budget for it, but I think it's around like that. We looked it up maybe in Wikipedia or something.
Like 80? No.
No, it was like 200, right?
200,
yeah. 180, 200, yeah.
They go pretty high on those movies.
They do, yeah.
But $600 million worldwide in 4 weeks. So
that's what I said. Desi's like, yeah, man, we're cool.
Yeah, so they're doing all right. I don't think they have anything to worry about. Number three, The Legend of Tarzan, one of the movies from last week. It took a 47% drop in week two, made $20.5 million. It is at $81 million domestic, which, I mean, I don't know. That seemed, didn't it kind of overperform?
We
I didn't even expect it to do that much.
Yeah. It did overperform.
It made $20 million foreign, so not a huge amount there, but it's, you know, it's up around $90 million worldwide on a $180 million budget. So, I mean.
So there's, I work at a comic shop. And our clientele is our older readers, and all of the people who were on the upper scale of age who still buy Tarzan books were like, that movie was so good, so great.
Oh,
and I'm just kind of like,
well, yeah, because they got a nice nap an hour.
Well, no, I'm
right,
like
that maybe, age. They
that's
left,
what it was.
They dozed
like
off.
That was the age range that
that needed a nap.
Right?
Oh, they had to have slept because
app says that you could go anytime between 3 minutes in to 2 hours.
Yeah,
they actually use the Run Go Nap app.
Yeah, it's completely different.
No, it's Run Poop.
Run
Pee.
Yeah.
It's not even Run Pee.
Big
it's like
poop.
You can poop.
Yeah, I just find it very interesting.
The bathroom at the other end of the theater,
right? They were just I was so good. I was like, all right. Huh,
so good. Oh,
yeah,
that's sad.
A lot of people were huge fans of the old dudes were huge fans of that movie.
Yeah. So anyway, The Legend of Tarzan. So it's got quite a bit to go to make its money back. I mean, it was number three, but I don't know how long it's going to stick around to recoup
long.
Its budget. I can't imagine.
I think next week is going to get, I think everything's going to take a drop next week.
Yeah. So,
like 10 to 15 years from now, when they have another Tarzan
they're
movie,
they're
going to
bring Casper Van Dien back.
Dolph Lundgren.
I'd watch that.
Except
movie.
He uses guns.
Yeah.
Just has machine guns, swinging from vines with one arm with guns. You killed Jane.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's Conan. I don't care if he is the Terminator. I don't care if he's Nick Fury. No, what was he? Was the Punisher?
He was the Punisher.
I don't care if he's the.
I'll tell you what. That movie, not bad. Like
which one?
The Dolph Lundgren Punisher
is
a Punisher. If you look at the Punisher and then look
terrible.
At the way Dolph Lundgren plays the Punisher, makes complete sense. He's awesome as the Punisher. That's Lou Gossett Jr. is in that movie.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I never saw the Dolph Lundgren.
So there you go.
Well, there was the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. There was the J.D. Salinger kid Captain America one.
There was the Hasselhoff Nick Fury.
The Hasselhoff Nick Fury. And then there was like some other, there's a Doctor Strange, a live action Doctor Strange TV show.
No,
that's like from the 70s.
And I was so excited about that. And then I watched it and I was like,
that's the way you're going to feel in November. You're like, this is so good. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be bad. There's no way.
Didn't Hasselhoff say that he's the best Nick Fury that's ever been?
Of course he did. He looks like Nick Fury.
Is that when he was laying on the floor trying to eat a cheeseburger?
Oh, Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, give me
my... Oh, I dropped my lettuce. That, like, have you ever... It's so weird when you watch a celebrity just completely implode, and you actually watch it happen, and you're like, wow, that. How are you going to recover from that?
And then he calls up Randy Quaid.
Yeah. He's like,
help,
hey, man,
get me off the floor. I need my cheeseburger.
How did you survive?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, Randy Quaid naked just on stepped up the crazy, and everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute, look at this.
Just double down.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, seriously, he films videos of, like, him and his wife having sex in public.
I'll take your word for it.
Post them online. He's just...
Yeah.
He doesn't live in America, right?
No.
He's had...
They don't let him. So... Number four, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates opened this weekend to $16.5 million. That's in 2,900, almost 3,000 locations.
Did you see that, Tom?
I did not. Okay. It looks awful.
It looks awful.
I think it looks kind of funny, but I don't know.
I like the idea of it. I like every person that's involved with it.
I like Anna Kendrick.
I like the flip, like... Yeah, where it's not the guys,
it's the girls are right. Yeah.
I like the premise. That I watch those trailers and I do not laugh one time.
Yeah. Nope, not once.
Hopefully, maybe it's a little bit better. I don't know. It's got like a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's like right there. You know, it's not like a 10%er, which a lot of movies that are bad are like 8%. So it's in the middle. So it's one of those things where
Zac Efron's been struggling.
Here and there, though. I mean, he has hits and
Neighbors
miss.
2?
Just,
yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Neighbors 2 is hilarious.
Yeah,
there's
but I mean,
Dirty
like,
Grandpa.
Dirty Grandpa, and then there was the, what was the DJ one?
Oh, the DJ one.
God, that's right.
What was that?
We Are Your Friends.
We are not your friends.
Yeah.
We are your douchebag friends.
Oh, that was a...
That's true.
You like us hating a movie.
That's a good one.
He's a Baywatch, so...
Yeah,
so
that's true.
See, I think that with The Rock, I think that's going to be funny.
You know who that guy could be? I was thinking, like, that guy, the fact that he isn't a super... He should be Nova. He should be the rich writer.
He's going to be Black Adam, right?
Who?
The Rock.
I mean Zac Efron.
Oh, Zac Efron.
Zac Efron could be Nova.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be pretty good. Especially let him be with James Gunn.
Yeah.
Let those guys.
Oh, yeah. That would fit perfectly.
Plus, I have that first appearance in Nova, so we need to get
him. Oh, I see what you're...
Get
okay.
him into a movie, please. Right.
And I heard that the Channing Tatum Gambit movie might... start filming next spring, maybe.
Why? Like, who's clamoring for Gambit?
They're just holding on to that script, that movie.
The playing card company.
It's set to
trench
make.
Code.
We need to sell more of these cards.
Yeah.
Somebody from still stuck in 1996.
Yeah, yeah. Like that character has been popular in years, decades.
So, yeah. Does Fox own Gambit?
Oh yeah. Anything that's anything mutant related.
Yeah, because remember they were trying to put him in that next X-Men movie.
That's what I would do. Just have him be in the movie.
Well, they tried that. Remember, they tried that with Wolverine Origins.
Well,
that was just a pastiche of characters from different times just appearing in a movie where nobody knows exactly when it was set.
Right.
It kind of feels like the 70s.
That was good casting.
Yeah.
That was perfect casting.
That was perfect casting.
But. Poor guy.
It's a shame.
He's a box office poison.
He is. Kitch.
He just anything he
and
touches.
And I don't
is...
get why. I like him.
Yeah.
Really? I think he's. So I like.
Was
him
he John
on,
Carter?
Yeah.
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 So
I like John Carter.
I liked him on Friday Night Lights. I liked him in John Carter.
Yeah.
I liked him as Gambit, but man, he was awful on True Detective.
I thought he was actually pretty good. I think that season sucked.
But
maybe
I don't think
that's
it was his
it
fault.
Is.
Yeah.
I think he. You know,
maybe I need to go back and rewatch that season.
No,
Joe.
Oh, good. Okay, perfect.
You don't have to rewatch this.
I liked him.
You should watch Batman versus Superman again.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah, True Detective season 2 is so bad.
It's terrible.
We would both recommend that you watch
Batman
versus
Superman.
If for no other reason that it will take up less of your time.
That was supposed to be a 3-season thing.
Well,
second season, they're like, never mind.
Put a bullet to that one.
Yeah. Oh, they're not doing a third season.
Well, I saw something the other day that said Matthew McConaughey is trying, that they're trying to get him back. And
to bring him back as Russ?
I couldn't tell if they're trying to bring him back as Russ. I didn't read the whole thing, or if they're just trying to bring him back in a new anthology. Like
I would watch him as Russ again.
Well,
yeah.
Watch, it premieres tonight, actually, but there's a preview of it.
I saw the John Turturro movie?
Oh,
the show?
The Night Of?
Yeah. It's good.
Just based on the first episode, I mean, it was like,
it's so tense.
Yeah, I was just like, oh God. Yeah. Every single
you are making every choice you're making right now is bad.
Just that 79 minutes was better than the entire season of
I would agree
True Detective season 2.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'm never going to watch that.
No, don't.
It's really. I bailed. We got about 6 or 7 episodes.
I finished
in,
it. I was like, I'm finishing it. I'm going to finish it.
It was a mess.
I did too. I'm paying for HBO Go. I'm going to finish the whole thing. Fine. And then I finished. I was like, I shouldn't have paid for HBO Go. This was a mistake.
So Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates had a $33 million budget, opened to 16.5, you know, only going to go down from there. So
it's
I don't know if it's
a rated R comedy and
high.
They're paying for some big names. I mean, it's
big names. Four leads. So
Aubrey Plaza, Anna Kendrick, Zac Efron, and then the guy from Workaholics.
Yeah.
Well, he's
Are we going to say big names? So that we go on big names?
Medium names? Big-ish names?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably getting a few to 5 million. You know, Zac Efron probably gets 5 million. So, you know, 3, 6, 9, 14, you know, the rest is for filming. I mean, 33 is not that.
By the time you get all of those people. Yeah, I mean, they're probably each get, like you said, 2 to 5.
3 to 5, yeah. So, I mean, that's...
It's going to add up.
It's 13, not like it's not like they got, you know, Jonah Hill or Miles Teller, which was this summer too, right?
Yeah. I bet you these days... Yeah, War Dogs is in August.
It's not like they got Superbad. It's not like they got The Wolf of Wall Street. It's not like they got...
You're trying to make that joke work, aren't you? Yeah, you're trying.
I think that, you know, I bet you these days they probably base a lot of your worth, not just on past box office performance, but on a movie like this. I bet you it's based on how many Twitter followers you have.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, that's true. For this audience, yeah, to try to reach the people that will see it. That's the young.
And Anna Kendrick crushes it on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's
so
really
does the
funny.
Other, so does the Workaholics guy.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, she's, and she's legitimately funny.
It doesn't hurt.
Joe would crush it.
That's neither here nor there.
So anyway, we'll see how that continues to do. Number five, the movie of the day, The Purge Election Year. This is in its second week in release. So it made $12 million this weekend, but that brings it to $58 million domestic. So
did on a $10 million budget.
It's a Blumhouse. It's a Blumhouse special.
Foot rub and a bomb pop.
Yep. Two bomb pops.
good for him.
Sequels get totally. Extra. Yeah. But no, this movie is at, it doesn't have much foreign. So, I mean, I guess with the whole American election thing.
It should do well overseas though, because it makes Americans
look
like
terrible,
ass.
Right?
Oh wait, true. No, that's just the television.
Do you hate Americans? Yeah. Well, here's a movie that confirms your feelings.
But so it's at over $50 million worldwide on a $10 million budget. So doing well. This one was critically
reviled.
It is a big standing turd. It is also like really weird the way they timed it. I'm surprised there weren't more
connections to some current candidates that are running. Like,
what do you
saying,
mean there
like,
are? Like, she wears glasses just like Bernie Sanders. And he
really, that's your connection? That's really,
I mean, you saw the movie, right? Like, we don't have much to go on.
Glasses?
She's an old white male.
She walks upright, just like Bernie Sanders.
She walks with a shuffle.
You know what? She kind of speaks English like Trump.
No, that was the other guy.
Huge.
No, she was fluent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, we'll get into that one, but it is making money, so... even if it's not being hailed by critics everywhere. Now, let's see here. Number six, The BFG. That's another one of the movies we spoke about last weekend. That got $8.4 million this time around in week two. That's a 55% drop. It is only just shy of $40 million, though, domestic. So for a Disney Spielberg movie, and especially Spielberg's first team up, that's...
You would think Disney Spielberg,
should
the pedigree alone.
$1 billion
easy.
Yeah. Also, shout out to listener Jeff Eldon, who gave us a little... background on the Facebook page about like when the Giants act like I guess he read the book to his kids, and there's more in there about the Giants.
DFS is on its way,
right?
No, I'm kidding.
The Giants eating children.
Yeah,
like there's a lot more in there. So yeah, he gave us a little breakdown of it, so shout out to him for doing that.
So it's made a little over $10 million overseas. So I mean, the movie's at like $50 million on a $140 million budget. What do you think went wrong? I mean, like you said, you would presume Spielberg and Disney would go right, but is it just like the subject matter? What?
No, I think it's also that they could have done a holiday release on that, and probably been better off.
I mean, there's a lot of competition right now with kids' movies.
I think they could have you could just use Spielberg and Disney for Holiday.
For Holiday. And that's
be in a better place.
Yeah. I think with Dory being, even though Dory was out for 2 weeks already when this launched, you still had a big box office from Dory. Secret Life of Pets was this weekend, so that's why this took a huge drop, which, you know. So I just think there's too much out there right now for kids to, you know.
I also, I mean, if they would have said, oh, they're going to do a, God, that'd be tough, though. They, like, did a remake of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something like that.
Man, that's a cool movie.
I'm still horrified by the Child Catcher.
They need to make that movie while flying cars still seem futuristic.
Yeah.
The clock's ticking.
Right.
You know what? You know what, though? I really think that the title hurts it, too. BFG. I just think if they would have called it The Big Friendly Giant, I think that would have automatically sounded like a kid's movie. When you say BFG, it's just
It sounds a little dirty.
Yeah.
It does. It sounds a little raunchy.
Yep. Yeah, and there's nothing, like, that's the thing, is like, there's nothing raunchy about that movie whatsoever. Like, it's a straight up kids movie.
I think the title, it's just a case of a bad title for a...
I also don't think they really benefited by having Spielberg involved with it. Like,
you think, well, I guess to me, I didn't see, like, you know, you see a Spielberg flick and you can, you know, and this one to me,
Spielberg face,
like, did, yeah, this one didn't feel like a Spielberg movie at all. Like, it felt like you could have put any director in that spot and they would have churned out the same thing. And I don't mean churn as like, you know, I don't mean like it was, you know, work for hire, but. Yeah, it just didn't feel like it didn't have the I like the movie.
So why get Spielberg and why pay him? I mean, part of that $140 million budget was probably a big fat Spielberg paycheck.
Trying to get him under the Disney banner.
Yeah.
I have to believe the Disney's like, look, we have all of this stuff in play right now. Like, why not try?
Marvel.
My guess is it's the movie Spielberg wanted to make, and if you want to work with Spielberg,
you got that's what you got to do.
Yeah. So anyway, disappointing.
Also, I don't think he wanted to make it. I think this is because, like, we talked about, the gal has, like, creative control over the directors.
She wanted Spielberg to make it.
Yeah, but if Spielberg didn't want to make it, that's true. He would say no, and he'll make something else.
I think he has the right to say no.
I think at this point, that's the same.
He's under old-timey studio contract rules where he just is he's on salary.
He still has to. He's still legally required to come back and make two more Columbo episodes.
Yeah.
And he's got to make 1942. I'm still waiting for that.
Was that him?
Did he do 1941?
That was his first big flop.
Okay. First big flop. And I still disagree with that. I think it's a pretty...
Is that a flop?
Oh, no. It was a terrible flop. Yeah. But I still enjoy
it. Is that the one where Belushi and Aykroyd were super serious?
No.
What's that one?
That's Neighbors. And they kind of flipped roles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
weren't they in
that was bad.
Were they in the one movie as pilots? The 1941 was the one where they were fighter pilots?
Well, they weren't
Belushi's
in it.
a fighter pilot.
They didn't have any scenes together, did they?
They have no scenes together. Yeah. Aykroyd's a tank commander. It's a very manic, loud. It's honestly a lot like a mad world.
Yeah.
And if you watch that now, that is a very loud, like, just so much screaming in that movie. But it's still and there's so much amazing talent collected in a movie that you're like, you're really never going to have that again.
I think Spielberg just doesn't know how to make comedies.
Totally. He knows how to have funny stuff in his movies.
It's a great looking movie, 1941, but it's like it never gels. And it was like there's all this stuff happening that I'm like, I know this is supposed to be making me laugh.
The best part of the movie is the dance number, which is a dance number / fight. And it's really well done. And he tapped into that again when he did Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
He had that little dance number. He's
that's right.
And it was really well done.
And he knew he could kind of recycle it because nobody had seen it.
1941.
Because it was in 1941. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like him channeling Stanley Kramer and Stanley Kubrick combined.
That's a weird combo.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, that's too bad for the BFG. So I guess we'll see that one on video in time for the holidays.
It's a safe bet. So. Yes.
Number 7, Central Intelligence, still sticking around in the top 10, making $8.2 million, only a 34% drop in week 4. That is now up to $108 million, so I guess that combination with The Rock has brought Kevin Hart's box office numbers up a bit from what they've been.
Yeah.
And overseas, it's got another 30 some odd million. So it's got a little over 135 on a $50 million budget. I mean, that's profit. So
that's The Rock since he's gotten away from the kid stuff. He's been on the uptick.
And it was also a decent movie.
I did end up seeing it, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And I did not think from the previews, I'm like, oh, is it going to be another one of these zany Kevin Hart, like same characters? But no, the characters were actually very different than what you'd think.
And it's an example of where, kind of like what we were talking about with Neighbors, where like the two guys kind of flipped the characters and ran with it, and it worked. But in this case, it works.
Yeah, and there was like good action, but
it's weird to say that like
an Aykroyd Belushi movie doesn't work.
Aykroyd Belushi screwed it up, but Kevin Hart, The Rock, they got to figure they figured it out.
Johnson
was. Yeah. I don't remember when Neighbors came out, but it was like a very transition. I was going to say it's a definite. It definitely is a 70s to 80s.
When did Belushi die?
He died like 82, 83.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you see it?
It was one of his last movies.
It's almost an experimental film.
Yeah.
And it is like literally it is sort of like the cross between like classic rock into new wave. You know, where you're like, what is this movie?
He died in 82.
Yeah, okay. I did not know what
it
was.
Like Almost Heroes with Farley.
Yeah.
You could see it.
Yeah.
Like that is not that Chris Farley is not the Chris Farley you saw.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Well, and this is, like, it's a very subdued Belushi. I remember him being somewhat slimmer than we had seen him, but it's just, it's a weird, weird movie.
Weird. I'll check it out.
Yeah,
based on a book. It came out in 81. It's based on a book by Thomas Berger, who was the guy who wrote Little Big Man.
Which
is a great movie and an even better book.
Serious story.
I don't know, because Little Big Man had a lot of comedy.
I mean,
it
had humor in it.
Yeah, and it was directed by John G. Avildsen.
Who's that?
No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
John G. Avildsen, didn't he? Am I getting my guys mixed up? He directed something big. Did he direct
To the Ghouls?
I know he directed Rocky, right?
Oh, well, that's big.
Yeah.
He directed Rocky, Neighbors.
Sounds about right.
Rocky V and the first three Karate Kids movies.
The Ralph Macchio ones. He bowed out of the Hilary Swank one.
Yes.
But
John Badham directed Saturday Night Fever.
So
I knew it was somebody
Rocky
that you wouldn't have expected.
Right.
You know?
Rocky and Karate Kid, though.
Yeah.
Karate Kid 2 is still good.
It's an odd movie.
So anyway, Central Intelligence doing well for itself. Number 8, Independence Day Resurgence. That's one from a few weeks back. It made $7.6 million this weekend, a 55% drop. That is now up to $91 million domestic in week 3. So I think still not what they wanted on that one with its $165 million budget.
So if you're looking for that sequel they promised you, maybe you can find the novelization that will be coming out soon.
Now, it has picked up some foreign numbers, so it's up to almost $200 million overseas.
Maybe you are going to get a third.
Yeah. So you're up to over $275 million worldwide on a $165 million budget.
There's anything the international box office loves, it's blowing up America.
Yes. So, well, I mean, you know, they had all the flags in that movie. No matter what country you're in, you could see all your friends there. Oh.
Hey, that one's mine.
Yeah.
They blew up something I love.
It was like with Pacific Rim having all that, right? Like with Pacific Rim and all the robots. It's the Russian guy.
Eastwood is going to be in Pacific Rim too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Like the star?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a star, but he's going to be one of the main guys.
Because I thought Pacific Rim 2 was it's not John Boyega.
It's Jax, isn't it?
No, it is John Boyega.
John Boyega is the star of Pacific Rim 2.
Oh, they're not bringing back Charlie, I can't act my way out of a paper bag.
No.
But John Boyega is going to be awesome in that.
Great.
I mean, I
can
really
see those
like
two
him.
Guys together. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll
come on, Nightwing.
Oh, you just want a Nightwing movie in general? Or?
No, I think he's Dick Grayson.
Oh, in Suicide Squad. You think so? Ah, I see. Gotcha.
I can only hope.
Well, we'll see what happens. Number 9, The Shallows, Joe's favorite shark movie of the year. $4.3 $1 million.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's the only shark out this year, so yeah, you know, that's fair.
Least
yeah.
favorite and favorite, right? 51% drop in week three. That is now up to $45 million, which I mean, on a $17 million budget,
you get an extra nod because you have Blake Lively in a bikini,
right?
The entire movie.
You got Blake Lively, the bikini budget, the shark trainer, and that's about it.
Waxing,
right?
Yeah,
waxing,
yeah.
And then board wax too.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a pubic hair joke when I made it. Yeah.
No, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
You waxing and then the board, too. That was
right.
a separate.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, okay.
Two different things.
Yeah. So, anyway, that one's making money. I mean, there's not much to it. So, Joe, have you gone back and watched Open Water yet?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you think this time around?
I thought it was all right. I did not I did not not like it as much as I thought.
As you not liked it before.
Yeah.
As you not unliked it.
Right.
I didn't previously.
Unprevious.
Well, you know, sometimes how many times did you see BVS now?
Four.
So maybe two more open waters. Yeah. And
maybe wait, it's rotting yeah, your four. Opinion of good movies.
It could be. It's like, I've seen it so many times. It's like,
yeah, you
no.
get it. It's like you have a cavity.
Yeah. Just eating away at the, yeah.
The V stands for virus.
Yeah. And it is infecting my brain.
So anyway, good for Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Like
more formula
for
the baby.
They needed a hit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they had Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rounding out the top 10, Sultan. With $2 million.
it's the prequel to Aladdin.
It's a wrestling movie, I think.
What?
I saw
really?
There was a poster and
he woke up.
What? Yeah.
Who?
I don't think it's a WWE movie, but
no, I don't care.
But here's the picture.
Oh, you mean like amateur wrestling?
Amateur professional. Well
No,
what would you call it?
Amateur
That's
wrestling.
Not amateur.
Yes it is.
Non fake.
Not yeah.
No, it's.
Well, I don't think anybody makes a living as a wrestler that doesn't have a funny name.
No, it, like wrestling in the Olympics is called amateur wrestling.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm positive.
It just seems weird to call it amateur when they're the ones winning gold medals.
Because they don't get paid.
But yeah, I don't think there's any professional circuit for wrestlers that isn't like WWE type stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You become a professional when you start making money.
Right. Okay. Got it. Okay. That makes sense then. Yeah. But anyway, so it's they had a poster for it at the AMC theater when I went to go see all these other crappy movies and I had no idea what it was, but I think it's a limited release movie.
Do you remember in like the, was it the 96 Olympics when Rulon?
No. It's sports. I don't remember it.
You remember Rulon?
Kurt Angle?
No. Well, Kurt Angle did win.
Yeah.
But like there was a wrestler named Rulon Gardner who looked like the most country boy you've ever seen in your life. And he had to wrestle this dude, this Russian dude who looked like Frankenstein in real life.
Was he played by Dolph Lundgren?
No.
In the Olympics?
But like, if you would ever, like, I don't know why, but he beat him. Like this,
I would crush
the Russian dude was unbeatable. Like he couldn't beat him. And Rulon Gardner beat him by a point. But all I can remember is like the Cro-Magnon head on this Russian guy. Like he looked like a caveman. I don't know why that guy stands out.
But those wrestlers, like those amateur, you know, like the gold medal winning wrestlers are the corn fed country boys. Like they're big guys. That's what they do. They work on a farm.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar was a guy from Minnesota.
When they're done, they become the most sought after college wrestling coaches in America. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Right.
It's like you can only, it's like a philosophy degree. You can only use it to teach other people philosophy. Right. Like it's got no other
purpose whatsoever. Yeah.
So Sultan opened up on a couple hundred theaters. So it's a wide release foreign movie, but made quite a bit of money and it bumped out The Conjuring 2 from the top 10.
Dang.
The Conjuring 2 made $1.6 million, a 58% drop in week 5 at number 11. That is now at $99 million domestic. So,
like, come on.
Yeah. But
so
I mean,
close.
Yeah. It's got $99 million
so
domestic, but over $180 million foreign. So on a $40 million budget, The Conjuring has made almost $300 million. So, I mean, that's done fantastic.
That's why James Wan gets Fast 9 or whatever and Aquaman and.
Yeah,
I think that's it. I think those are the only two big budget things he's got.
So
in
they
the pipeline.
They set this like with the Annabelle thing. They set this up for a spin-off.
Well,
or
it's kind of like they set it up with a backdoor spin-off.
Right.
So I thought it was going to be this Crooked Man character, but it turns out they're going to spin off this nun demon thing, and they're going to spin that off.
And And will they have a Conjuring 3? Are there enough big stories for them?
So the problem with this movie is it has kind of brought to light how full of the Warrens are.
Yeah.
So it may not.
Oh, it did?
There's so this case in particular, the Warrens were barely involved. Like in real life, they showed up for like 2 days. And there's a really good documentary from the BBC where they talk to other people who were involved with this case, where like the Warrens were there for 3 days and they talked to like two people and they're like, we can make you so much money on this case or on this haunting. And they were like, get out of here. And they're like, all right, see ya. And they left.
How do they make money on hauntings?
Well,
like book deals
and movie deals. TV, I mean, that's what happened. That's what happened to the Lutzes. I think that's who that was. In the Amityville Horror. Mm-hmm. Like they made so much money on the books and the movies and all
that
stuff.
So like they own the story, the real life story.
They own like parts of it, but I think the guy who wrote the book gets most of it. And the guy who wrote the Amityville Horror book was like, this is totally made up. Like there are certain there are parts of it that are real. It's like based on a true story.
Well, yeah, I mean these
as
are
as in like 1% of the true story.
Right, but these are like ghost hunters, right?
That they're supposed to be.
Ghost hunters.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing is like, I mean,
wait, what's the question here? Like,
well, I mean,
of course
you know,
they're full of it. They're ghost hunters.
But like,
no, we got them. It's in this jar. Can you see?
Yeah. I didn't even know that was a question.
But I mean, like this case in particular was debunked and it didn't help anybody's cause, you know? So I don't know if we're going to get another Warren case file.
Maybe. So maybe they'll go off onto a different set of ghost hunters kind of thing. Or?
I mean, even if, like I've said before, they've done enough Amityville stuff.
But do people really care? But these
probably
movies?
Not.
I mean, I don't care.
No, I don't
like,
care.
I'm going to see a horror movie.
You know, I think
I didn't believe it when I saw it. When they said this is a true story, I'm like, no, it's not. But the movie was good.
But the movie was good. It was
yeah.
But like we've seen Amityville so many times. The story that I would want to see is the story of the DeFeos, who is the family that was killed there. Like you can do like nobody talks about that. They're just like this.
So they're the ones that are haunting.
So Ronnie DeFeo murdered his family in that house. That's legit.
And that's like, real.
That's
story.
Absolutely real. And then they say that, you know, he was possessed by a demon. So when they moved out, when they left, the Lutzes moved in and they started claiming that like the walls were bleeding. And
I see.
The
so they're the ones that
the
you always follow
the story.
So yeah, like
you
a prequel
hear about
to a medieval.
That. I would like you, because that story is completely untouched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would see that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
But maybe, you never know. James Wan could be like, you know, Patrick Wilson's like, hey, I need a movie. And he's like,
well,
come
on. I mean, I don't know. They've got to be making some money. I mean, these movies are huge. I would presume that the second one is paying them
totally
decently, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and
Patrick Wilson can only do so many seasons of Fargo.
Yeah. And what? He's got that Watchmen money, right?
So did you see that they might be doing like something for HBO?
TV series. They think that Zack Snyder is working with HBO on a Watchmen series.
But how? That's my question. So I guess I would see like a Minutemen movie, mm-hmm. like the team before Watchmen. But why would I go back and watch another Watchmen miniseries
when the movie's already
when the movie? And actually, that's not a bad movie. That's a good movie.
I love
like,
the movie.
If you like the Watchmen comic,
I like that movie. I'm not a Zack Snyder fan, but
that's
I like that movie.
Because it's polarizing. But I love it.
There's a 24-hour cut of that thing. That's got
24-hour cut.
It's like three. It's I
have
I think
seen
it's like 4 hours.
I mean, there's the four.
It's got like
the cartoon
and
cut
of it. Yeah, it's got the break, the Black Freighter spliced in.
It's
but it's the it's the book. It's every it's
yeah you can't,
all 12 issues of the comic.
The only thing that they changed really
is the ending.
Is the ending, and honestly,
not so bad.
That ending is
the comic book.
If they would have
done
the ending that's in the book, it just would have been so.
It's so dumb.
You're like,
yeah,
what?
I totally agree.
Because
yeah.
at the ending of the book, when I read the book, I was like, what?
Hold on.
What is this? It's a giant
squid?
Now?
Yeah, it's a who's with the what's it? Yeah.
See, on the super special extended edition, at the end of the movie, Batman picks up a clock.
that's you've heard this, right? You know this deal?
No.
So, you know, DC relaunched their comics.
Right.
They're saying that Dr. Manhattan is the cause of the new 52.
That's how they explain
it. So, like,
it away.
Batman's in the Batcave, and he sees something glinting in the Batcave, and he picks it out, and it's
the comedian's button.
The comedian's button with the blood stain on it, and so they're bringing in all of the Watchmen characters. Like all of those Watchmen characters are coming into the DC universe proper.
That doesn't.
I don't know
sense.
How it's gonna work.
Probably don't either.
They don't either. Yeah.
Hell
that,
Hydra.
You know that two year story they were talking about. There you go.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I could think.
Yeah, that's the box office.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess let's wrap it up. And we'll go around the table. Everybody can say where to find themselves.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett, or man, email Joe at realspoilers.com.
What the flip?
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us online at Real Spoilers on the Twitter, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And you can join our League of Show Sharers. Pick an episode and just click share. Probably the most recent one, if you'd like to hear your name on an episode. But and we will thank you.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, it's all the cool kids.
All the cool
kids
are doing it.
Yeah. And also, you can go to iTunes, rate and review and subscribe. That all helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we're going to tackle The Purge.
There's another
called?
One.
Election year. Yeah. The Purge election year. I'm waiting for The Purge, the Karen Carpenter story.
Oh.
Too soon?
I mean, no, I guess not.
Yeah. From the guy who made like 47 consecutive episodes with Paul Walker jokes.
I think where did we go? Oh, the Robert Loggia jokes.
Yeah. So that's coming up on the next episode. You've been warned.
Sorry we broke up. Sorry I missed you. Sorry I Sorry, I promised to love you forever. Made you feel guilty all when you left me. Sorry, I showed up at your party. Sorry, I drank up all the Bacardi. Sorry, I puked up on your bedspread. Sorry, I wanted to be your boyfriend again. What can I do? It's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. What can I do? I am the loser. Sorry I touched you and I heard bells ring. Sorry I jacked off outside of your window while you were sleeping. I thought you'd never know. Sorry I showed up at your wedding. Sorry I tried so hard to get in. Sorry I screwed up your pictures. Sorry I had sex with your sister. What can I do? It's over, it's over, it's over, it's over.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.